I received a startling telephone call this week. It was from one of my minister friends who is now pastoring one of the churches that I pastored at one time. She told me when she called who she was, and she said, and I won't mention the guy's name, but I'll just refer to him as John Doe, says, "Do you remember John Doe?" I said, "Oh yeah, sure do." She said, "Well, he stopped by here today to see you." "And what did he want?" I asked. "He didn't want anything." "How did he look?" Because if you would have asked me where John Doe was, and me knowing him like I did, I would have said, "He's in prison or he's dead." She said, "He's a nicely dressed young man, driving a Lexus, I believe it was. Has his work crew with him. And he is on his way to another job site down in Georgia, and he wanted to stop by and to thank you." "Thank me," I said. Now, well, I'll tell you this part of it later. So it floored me, and I said, "Thank me for what?" He said, "Because," he said, "in a time in his life when he needed direction, you let him stay at your house and you pointed him in the right direction." I said, "That's true. He wants you to know and thank you that he made it." I have not talked to all my children yet about this person. But in speaking with one of my daughter said, "Daddy, I don't know if I were to see him, if I were to hug him, or just slap his face." I told my son about it, and his words were, "Really? John Doe, huh? Really? Well, I am evangelical. I am evangelistic. I believe that the church needs to be evangelical, or I would encourage the church to be evangelical. I know we have different styles of churches and different types of ministers. But I am one that continually shares and asks people, 'Where are you going to church? Would love to have you as a part of the family here.'" I was in a meeting, a seminar the other day with Ken Callahan, former professor at Candler School of Theology, and he made this statement that growing churches are winsome churches. Growing churches are churches where people welcome individuals. The largest church I guess I have ever been to was Frazier in Montgomery, Alabama. And I remember being greeted in the parking lot. I remember being greeted in the lobby. I remember being greeted in the Sunday school class. I remember being greeted after church in the sanctuary. It was a winsome church. I was at the clergy orders meeting this week, and I heard another author say, "Churches need to be welcoming. Churches need to be warm. Churches need to be loving. Churches need to be caring if they're going to grow." You see, the reality is that we could sit right here on this corner in Greenwood, and if we chose, we can die, or we can live. Because the work has been done. All we have to do is harvest. Dr. Callahan said that in this town, that the percentages are that 70% of the people in this town are unchurched. That's the average. Jesus was at this well, and it wasn't because it was in his itinerary, I guess, or in on the map that he needed to go through Samaria. He was out of the way. Not only was he out of the way, but when you stop and think about Nicodemus that we talked about last week and this Samaritan woman, they are diametrically opposed. Nicodemus was a man, he was a woman, Nicodemus was Sanhedrin, this woman was Samaria. Nicodemus comes by night, she comes in the middle of the day. Nicodemus was highly respected. This woman had 5 marriages and now was shacking up. I thought about the stories that we tell. When I was at Candler, Jim Fowler used to talk about faith development. And he established within me a hunger. And I, to this day, so love to hear your stories of faith. Tell me your story. I want to hear your story of how your faith has sustained you and enabled you and been your comfort in all the different times and trials of life. I want to know. And as I thought about this woman, as she came to the well, and Jesus says to her, "Give me a drink of water." And I think about those times that we have that just is us responding to the basic human need. Albert Camus, in his novel The Fall, he talks about that he will not cross a bridge at night or walk across a bridge at night. He says, because if he were to go across a bridge and he realized that someone had fallen in, then he would have to decide whether he wanted to jump into the water and try to save them and put his life at danger or not. And then if he chose not to do that the rest of his life he would be struggling with the decision that he made about not responding to this person who apparently was drowning. When it is said that it wasn't that he was necessarily afraid to respond, bottom line was he didn't want to get involved in anything that required commitment of him. That's the reason he doesn't cross. He doesn't want to place himself in any position that might where he might be expected to respond. I think about these two individuals that we have last week, Nicodemus, this week, the Samaritan woman. As they come to Jesus. And the people within our community, our town, the ones that are thirsty, and the ones that are hungry for spiritual water, for spiritual food. As Rudy so eloquently placed it this morning, we've been blessed. Look at this place. Gorgeous. If we had to start today to build this, my goodness, where would we start? And yet, here it is. Kairos was here this week, and one of my good friends was here, and I said, oh, come, let me take you to the sanctuary. And so as we walked through and we're looking at the building, and I brought her in here, and she just said, oh, it's gorgeous. A place where people for over 150 years have come and worshiped. Let this be the place, and let us be the people who tell the story of our faith and also share this living water that we have received. The work's been done. All we have to do is harvest. Amen.